Today on Real Radio.
How can you know if you have the gift of evangelism? That's a great question. And I think it'd be safe for us to all ask that question before us in the Lord is, Lord, you know, how do I know if I have that gift? Do I have that gift?
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his verse-by-verse series through 1 Samuel. We're nearing the end of our series within a series called Church Growth 101. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 13 is our starting point. We're going to have a look at what Scripture says about the works of the Spirit. And we've been seeing how the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, works in various ways in the life of the believer. So let's continue now as Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs brings us more. It's his mini-series called Church Growth 101.
And we would hear that message and judge it according to the Word of God. If it's off the wall from the Bible and wacky, then, you know, we'd either rebuke that person honestly, say, don't ever speak again until you get your Bible right, or it's time for you to go. Now, we had a lady on a third service. I don't know if you know this or not. We had a lady on a third service. She's sitting right about here. Nothing personal, but that's a hot seat right there. The service was coming to a conclusion, third service, and this lady, and I saw in her eyes, she stood up. Everybody stood up. As soon as she stood up, though, she started coming toward me right here, and I looked in her eyes, and that concerned me instantly. Honestly, I looked and I said to myself, I don't like her eyes. There's something wrong. And she goes, I have a message. I have a message. And I heard every word she said. And I said, what? And she goes, I have a message. And I'm telling you, her eyes, something's wrong. And I said, I'll tell you what, it's loud in here, the music's playing. Step over here and you can tell me about your message. She goes, okay. So as we're walking out, she's trying to talk to me about something. And all I can think about, and I really felt the Lord say, get out of the building. Get out of the building with her. And I went through that door right there. And she goes, now I have to hurry up and get back in there because I have a message for a young man in there. And I said, well, tell me the message. She goes, oh, I can't tell you the message. It's not for you. And I said, well, where's the young man? She goes, oh, I don't know. I'm going to get it behind the pulpit. I'm going to announce it. And I said, oh, I can't hear it, but you're going to announce it to the people? I said, look, I don't know who you are. She goes, well, doesn't matter. I work for God. And I said, you do? Well, I do too. If you work for God and I work for God, then tell me what the message is. She goes, I'm not going to tell you what the message is. And I said, lady, if you work for God and I work for God, if you're a prophet and I'm a pastor, surely we can get along. Now here's the deal. Tell me the message or you're not going in the building. And she goes, I am not going to tell you the message and I am going in the building. I said, you know, two things. Number one, you physically won't make it in. Secondly, it's a federal offense to disrupt a religious service, which we'll have you arrested for. So tell me the message. And she said, you blankety gee and boom and language you could not believe. And I was like this, and there was an usher behind her, and he was just red. I was red. The cussing. People were coming out, and we got her out of the way. And I tell you, thank God she never came back. But God protected this body. And that stuff has happened from time to time. And you'd say, well, Jack, you know, that's why we don't want to be open to the Holy Spirit. Don't ever think that. Because listen, didn't Jesus, when he was ministering, even when the apostles were ministering and Jesus had long time ascended back into heaven, didn't they contend with imposters and strange difficulties? They were open to the work of the Holy Spirit, but they knew the Word of God to judge things by. And they didn't allow things to go on. That's very important. And so, as we conclude this mini-series, know this. that the gifts of the Holy Spirit, remember, are not infallible. Did you know that? They're not infallible. People will make mistakes concerning the use of the gifts of the Spirit. You want to know why? Because God's using imperfect creatures. He's using us. And people will say, you know what, I really feel like I should have spoken out this word. This verse, Pastor Jack, was in my mind, and I couldn't get this verse out of my mind, but I didn't say anything during our afterglow setting on Wednesday nights later on. I didn't say anything because I didn't want people to think I was crazy. And you know, that's a shame, because you know what? You got to step out in faith. But so many within the church are so afraid of making a mistake in the usage of their gift that they don't use it at all. And I think that's a sad thing. It must be by faith. Well, tonight we look at what is called the gift of evangelism. And I think it'd be right for me to just tell you from the start, as we've read in Ephesians 4:11, and he himself gave some to be apostles, not all, some to be prophets, not all, some to be evangelists, not all, some to be pastor teachers, not all. So what we're talking about immediately now is the gift of evangelism that is not given by the Holy Spirit to everyone. And you might be saying, well, Jack, you know, that makes me feel better. You know, my husband or my wife or my friends or whoever's been pushing me to evangelize, and I don't have the gift of evangelizing like that, or the gift of an evangelist. Well, first of all, take a nice soothing breath and relax, because Paul here says some have the gift of evangelism. An evangelist is one who announces the evangel or the gospel. That act of evangelizing is called evangelism, to tell others. Now, hopefully this will set a lot of people free and also at the same time encourage a lot of you. If you have the gift of evangelism, reaching souls for Jesus is your main passion in your life. It drives you. You're always thinking how you can reach somebody for Christ if you have that gift. We'll talk in depth about that gift more and more, but not all people, listen carefully, not all people who evangelize have the gift of evangelism. You can evangelize, and it's right that we do so, but you may not have the gift of evangelism. You might say, well, Jack, does that mean I'm going to fail from the moment I start? No. It's safe to say that perhaps most of us in this room, we don't have the gift of the evangelist, but it's possible that most of us have evangelized somebody. What does that mean? Have you told your children about Jesus? You are evangelizing them. Evangel, giving them the gospel, the good news. Have you told your husband or your wife or your friend or your neighbor about Jesus? You are evangelizing, but you don't have the gift of evangelism. Very important. That's why Paul told Timothy, do the work of an evangelist. Paul did not tell Timothy he was an evangelist. He said, do the work of an evangelist. We can all do the work of an evangelist. But only some of us have the gift of evangelism or being that of an evangelist. I hope that's clear and might set you at ease in some way. Now, first thing we look at tonight, the gift of evangelism, it's not given to everybody, as we see, but to some. How can you know if you have the gift of evangelism? That's a great question. And I think it'd be safe for us to all ask that question before us in the Lord is, Lord, you know, how do I know if I have that gift? Do I have that gift? Well, first of all, there's a couple of signs, a couple of indicators. You'll be concerned for the souls of people. You say, well, I'm concerned about the souls of the people anyway. Yes, but if you have the gift of evangelism, you will be unusually burdened for the souls of people, strangers. You'll be moved with compassion in an unusual way. If you have been standing in line at the market, if you have been somewhere, and it doesn't matter where you're at, doesn't matter what time it is, doesn't matter what's going on in your life, you have this almost irresistible drive to walk up to that person and to begin pleading for their soul. Now, let me explain what that means. It doesn't mean you throw yourself at their feet and tackle them and say, oh, you know, you're good. You know, scare them to death. But there's the Spirit of God. He's moving on you. It's almost like your life is placed for a moment into a vice. And they're the only person you can see. And you hear perhaps this thought in your head, go tell them. Tell them. I've got to tell you that when that has happened in my life, never, not once, ever, have I ever obeyed God and He embarrassed me or let me down or hurt me or whatever, made me look like an idiot. Never. Every time that unction, that drive, that push has been as it is, that person that God led me to will always be open to the gospel. It's amazing. And the great thing is they're happy to be hearing about the Word of God, and you're sharing, and in your mind you're going, I can't believe they're still standing here. I can't believe they're listening. You're blown away. But it all starts with an unusual burden for someone's soul. And if it's a person that you see on a repeated basis, they're... life, their face, their name will be on your lips in prayer, and God begins to cook that person. Now listen, if you've read books on missionary ventures and lives of, like, say, Hudson Taylor and others, God not only burdened them with people, God burdened some of these great evangelists with nations, where they were completely burdened for nations. The moment they walked into a country, as Hudson Taylor did for China, he was consumed with the salvation of the Chinese people. God gave him a burden for a country. Now, I don't know if God will give you a burden for the country, but here's the thing. If you have the gift of an evangelist, you will be hungering for people's souls. It's amazing. It's often been called a burden. I don't usually like to use that term, burden, but I'll perhaps now call it a deep concern or a load that is deposited upon your heart by God. It's as though He's sharing a part of His heart with your heart. Another thing is that you'll want them to know about Jesus. This is an amazing thing. You will want a person to know about Jesus. You may find yourself saying things like this and off your lips or in your mind. If they only knew the truth about Jesus, they would receive Him. If they knew the truth. And you have this concern. You want to learn more about Jesus, and your whole desire is that you might tell others. Because you're so in love with that person's soul that Jesus, you know, is the only remedy, and you will, as it were, run to them as an ambulance driver or an EMT to give them aid, but it's for their soul. You're so concerned about their soul. It's amazing to me. A person who has this gift, they'll be more burdened or concerned for a person's soul than that person is for their own soul. They'll care more for their destiny than that particular individual himself. Isn't it amazing? Look, that's not normal, you guys. That's not normal. That's from God. He begins to cook that in the heart of one who must tell people about Jesus. Now, again, I'm going to be inserting this, I trust, throughout the evening, but if you don't have that, that doesn't mean you're a sub-base Christian. It just means you don't have that gift. And thank God not everybody has that gift. Can you imagine? God knows best. All these people would get saved, but then nobody would teach them. They'd just be saved, and that's all they would know is John 3:16. That's all they would know forever. But I think you know what I'm saying. God will do this. He puts it into their hearts. In Mark 6:34, it says, and seeing, that is Jesus seeing a great multitude, Jesus was moved with compassion for them because they were like sheep not having a shepherd. And so He began to teach them many things. Do you hear that? He looked at the people in His heart. The word in the Greek is that His bowels were moved or shaken with concern. Have you noticed when you're really concerned about something, you feel it in the midsection of your body? You don't feel it in your heart, do you? In your chest? You don't feel it there. You feel it in what the Greek word is, in the bowels of a man, in the bowels of a person, deep, the seat of emotion. Well, you'll have a concern for souls. You want them to know about Jesus. And also, you'll desire to tell them yourself. This is great. You can always spot an evangelist in embryo or an evangelist that is growing. They'll be in a setting, and I've seen this many times firsthand. They'll be in a group of people, and they're all Christians, and they're loving the Lord, and they're talking, oh man, we should tell that guy about Jesus. And the guy who has the gift of evangelism, he'll spot the person. Oh, we should tell that person about Jesus. They say that out of a sense of being timid. We should tell that person about Jesus. And if somebody in the group goes and tells them, the evangelist, though he's glad that someone's telling them, he's chewing at the bit. He's like, I wanted to tell him. Well, then why didn't you go tell him? Well, I was afraid to. Well, your loss, too bad. I got to them. Well, I want to tell them next time. They just can't handle it. They've got to tell people about Jesus themselves. And many people, I see this happen, where we'll be talking, and this brother or this sister's over here, they start, you can see their gears going. And they all of a sudden they can't handle it, and they just cut that other Christian off, and they go, and Jesus this, and Jesus that, and Jesus, and they're going, and they're going, and you just back away and you let them go. They want to tell people about Jesus themselves. It's beautiful. Now look, again, if you don't have that gift, you're hoping and praying somebody shows up to tell them about Jesus. Oh man, I wish there was an evangelist around here. If there's not, do the work of an evangelist yourself. But you want to tell them yourself if you have that gift. And you'll risk it, by the way. Oh, I'm nervous, but I'm going to do it. Those of you who have the gift of evangelism, again, you'll be so concerned for that person, you won't care the cost. Years ago, many years ago, probably 1980, 81, we were walking along the boardwalk in Newport Beach, and there's a chopper gang there. And I don't know if they even have, do they even have choppers anymore? Well, us old guys, they had choppers, the big forks out there. Remember that? And the guys have leather on, and it's pretty scary looking people. And so we're walking along, and it's really late at night, and we're sharing the Lord with people. And there's this guy, he's loud, and he's the leader of the pack guy. He's big and hairy and scary, hairy and scary. And Richard and I were telling people, and then we saw this chopper gang and this leader, and we shut our lips, and we walked right by with our Bibles. And it was great, and as we walked by, we were still silent, and we both looked at each other exactly the same time, and the Spirit of God convicted us instantly at the same time. And we turned and looked at each other, and we just said, you know what, this is wrong. Well, I don't want to talk to him. I don't want to talk to him either. And I don't know how it happened, if we flipped or what a coin. I honestly don't remember, but somehow it fell on me. And when we walked back, we walked right up to that guy, and I said, and I had my Bible, and I said, excuse me, I'm a Christian. Before you kill me, can I tell you about Jesus? And that guy goes, that's funny. And the guy goes, hey, this guy wants to tell us about Jesus. And everybody starts laughing, and the guy goes, shut up! And everybody shut up. And we told him about Jesus, and everybody had to listen, and the whole gang. He made them listen. And the guy goes, no. It was very sad, though, because we gave him the gospel, and he goes, God wouldn't want me. I'm so bad, you have no idea. If you ask these guys how bad I am, God would never want me. And if I were there, it wouldn't be heaven. I'm so bad of a person. There's no way Jesus would ever want me. And we were pleading with the guy. Yes, it's you. In fact, listen, look at this scripture. To whom much forgiven, he loves much. That's you, man, that's you. No, I'd like to believe that. He was so swallowed up with condemnation, he wouldn't believe it. And we wound up having to go away, and it was very sad, but we prayed for that guy. Who knows? And, you know, who knows whatever happened to him? You know, he's probably pastoring a Calvary Chapel somewhere. That's what probably happens. But that's the way it goes. But you'll run the risk. Your protection logic goes out the window. God will overshadow that if called upon to do so. In 1 Corinthians 9:16, Paul says, "For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of, for of necessity is laid upon me. Yes, woe unto me if I preach not the gospel," Paul says. There's this desire to tell them yourself. One of the greatest examples of this, in fact, one of the, if not the greatest example of an evangelist in all of the Bible, is Philip in Acts chapter 21, verse 8. Philip the evangelist, it calls him right there, Philip the evangelist. But listen, in Acts chapter 8, let me read it to you. It starts at verse 26. Acts 8:26 says, "Now an angel of the Lord spoke unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." Boy, that's in the news tonight. "This is desert. So he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch, of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge over all of her treasury. And he had come to Jerusalem to worship, and he was returning. And sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit of the Lord said to Philip, Go near and overtake this chariot. So Philip ran to him, and he heard the man reading the prophet Isaiah, and said, Do you understand what you're reading? And he said, How can I unless someone guide me? And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him in the chariot. And the place in the scripture which he read was this: He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away, and who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. So the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this of, himself or some other man? Then Philip," listen everyone, this is beautiful. "Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning at this scripture," that is the prophet Isaiah concerning the suffering of the Messiah, "preached unto him Jesus. Now as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, Behold, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" Listen, "then Philip said, If you believe with all your heart, you may." Notice, belief comes before baptism. "And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water and baptized him." Isn't that a great story?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called Church Growth 101. Church Growth 101 is actually a mini-series taken from 1 Samuel 16:13 as our basis, and of course other passages that address the only true way to extend and grow the kingdom of God, and that is through His Holy Spirit. We'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Well, you've heard us tell you about Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Of course, that's the name of our Monday night television program here that airs on hischannel.com. Real Life with Jack Hibbs is also the name of our free app for all your mobile devices. Download it today when you get a chance. But also, we'd like to introduce you now to reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Now, of course, you'll always be able to get the recent editions of Real Life with Jack Hibbs, but there are other tabs and buttons you can take advantage of: Real Radio broadcasts, Pastor Jack's devotionals, resources that'll help you grow in the knowledge and admonition of our Lord, and a whole lot more. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's our new website. Visit us when you get a chance, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Our telephone number here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David J., and Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.